Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. We are beginning a brand new Sefer today. Technically, really, Sefer Shmuel is one long, one big Sefer. Historically, it was split into two. We will maybe discuss the thematics of the Shmuel base. This is the way it's split up in every Sefer in Tanakh. We made the joke already that there are two different places where people attribute the burial of Shmuel. They say that's called the Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis. Shmuel Beis really represents a big transition for the Jewish people and for the narrative that we've been learning about. The Sefer Shmuel Aleph ended with Shaul dying in battle, falling on his sword, literally. It could be that's where the term falling on his sword comes from. Maybe it comes from, Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed. Don't quote me on that. We got to do more investigation. But maybe. Shmuel Lamed Aleph, not Lamed, Lamed Aleph. And now what we really are beginning to see is a transition that we thought would begin many, many chapters ago of David HaMelech emerging as the sole king over the Jewish people. But like any transitions in life, it does not come easy. The first part of the Sefer will really be that transition from Shaul to David. And it's not linear. It's not linear. That's going to be about the first few chapters in the Sefer. And then we will discuss David fortifying himself as a prominent leader in the entire region, waging significant wars against all the people, on the outskirts, on the borders of Israel, and even within Israel. David HaMelech then setting up for what he wants to do more than anyone else, and that is to build the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't work out, as we all know, right? He was given a big answer of no. We'll analyze that no. There are two different reasons that are given, one in here and one in Divrayim. From there, this whole Sefer moves away from a national book, really talking about David and the Jewish people becoming stronger and stronger. And it becomes very, very narrow, where David, the entire, really the end of all of Sefer, half of it, discusses David and his family. And the very a lot of difficulties, challenges, conflicts within his own family dynamic. And that was, and we'll discuss whose fault was that, where did that come from. And there's a lot of personalities involved and a lot to discuss. But let's begin. Let's begin. Shmuel Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. V'acharei Moshe Shaul. So Shaul dies. David is not aware of this. Do you remember where David was? David was supposed to fight with the Plishtim. He returned back home to Ziklag. All the women and children were kidnapped. They were taken hostage, brought to an Amaleki village. David went ahead, destroyed all the Amalekim there, burned the city down to the ground, and he returned everybody back home. So David is now on his way back from a battle that he won. He does not yet know what happened in this battle between the Plishtim and the Jewish people. So after the death of Shaul, David returns from defeating Amalek. Vayeshev David b'tziklag yamim shanim. And yamim shanim. And David is sitting in Ziklag for, let's say, several days. The Malbim already points out over here that this pasuk is already signifying the transition. Shmuel, Shaul dies. And what's David doing? He's coming back powerful in war. Right, he's like that big general, like that's like the image the Sefer wants to give to you because he's going to be the next leader. Yeah.
Samuel, number 1,
chapter 3. Oh, okay. Baruch Akivanti. I am on the same page as Google. Wow. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be, I just, okay. Okay. Comes from Sefer Shmuel. Go home today. What you learned today. Well, did you know? Falling on the sword. Okay. There you go. We had a first. Okay. Rabbi Yudin already went to YU. Otherwise, we'd call him back. So, but I thought we could say the Malbim a little bit better. What was the whole reason why Shaul failed? Why did he lose his kingdom? It was one mistake. What was that one mistake? Honey's going to say more mistakes. Okay, but what was the first one? Amalek. Shaul dies, and what's David doing? He's doing Shaul's job. What? He put himself before God, right? You're seeing a deeper reason. But very practically, Shaul dies and David is wiping away Amalek. So you already see that David is not just taking over like Mamali Makomo, but he is doing the job that Shaul didn't do. Vayi bayom hashlishi. So for 2 days, he doesn't hear any news. Right? Today, we live in a world where news up to date every second. Right? We know what happens before everybody else. The Chever Kedisha we visited last week in Machane Ashura was telling us one of their biggest challenges is they have to move really, really fast. Right? We met with Gideon Bennett's uncle. He's one of the main rabbanim of Machane Ashura, which deals with all religious articles. Chever Kedisha is there, Sifrei Torah, Megillos. I have to print another 1,000 Megillos before Purim this year. Not print. That's easy. Right. Another 1,000 Megillos before Purim this year because they can't gather together. So we met with Rabenzi Mann. Rabenzi Mann, his parents are American. They are they live in Eretz Israel. They made Aliyah many years ago. His father was one of my Rebbeim when I was in Gross. To Dayan in the Eretz Chanda Kolel. And he took us around the Chever Kedisha. And he said, one of the most important things is, we know a halacha that once someone passes away, you bury them right away. But here, they're dealing with multiple layers here. Not only do you want to bury them right away, but you have to identify them first. You don't know who the person is sometimes. Lo aleinu. But you need to get to the family before social media news. Sometimes people speak because they don't mean bad, right? Everything's kept under wraps. But they're very, very careful that people find out in the right way. If it's done in the wrong way, processing and healing and processing trauma is very, very complicated. So for 2 days, they have no clue what's happening in this war. We can't appreciate this today. 2 days in the dark, I don't know. Vayi bayom hashlishi. On the third day, a man comes from Shaul's machane, from Shaul's encampment. His clothing is ripped. And he has dirt on his head. So what does this sound like? His clothing is ripped and his what? Right. So one way to look at this is that he is mourning. Right, and that's the image that he's giving. Another way to look at this is he was fighting in a battle, right? So it's not clear what image the Navi is trying to give us of this individual. Is this an Avelos moment? Or is this he's really from the battle because he's a mess. He's dirty and his clothing is a mess. But he bevo'o el David, when he arrives at David HaMelech's, presence. Vayipol Arza Vayishtachu. He bowed down and prostrated himself before David. That's a tell. What's he telling him? What is this person telling David by bowing down to him? What? You're the Melech now, right? Because why else would he bow down to him if not for the fact that he's the king? How does this guy know where David is? It's a great question. Is he risking his life by going into... Is he risking... We had a... It's a commercial in Duluth over here. So is he risking his life to go to Plishy territory? Probably, right? But those details, we don't really know exactly how he got here. Vayomer lo David. What? It does not... We will see in a minute. He's going to introduce himself. We will see that he's going to introduce himself. Vayomer lo David. Emi zetavo. Where have you come from? Right? Aye hamakom shetomer mizah aniba. Mitzu Dazion says, like, you look like a man, right? Where are you coming from? Vayomer elav. Mimachane Yisrael nimlatati. I ran away from the Machane Yisrael. I'm here. I ran away from the Jewish encampment that was in the battle. Vayomer lo David, Mahaya Davar Hagad Nalu. So for David, the guy bowing down to him didn't mean anything. He said, what happened? Tell me what happened in the battle. I need to know what happened in the battle. Vayomer Asher Nasa Amina Machama. The people ran away. Already a bad sign. Vigam Harbeina Falmina Am. Many people died. Is this the order you would say it in? Many people ran away. A lot of people died. Vayamusu. Vigam Shaul Vyahonatam Beno Mesu. And Shaul and Yehonasan also died. So we learn from here that when you share bad news, don't jump into it right away. Right? This is very sensitive. Gradual. It was a very difficult war. Right? Things were very, very hard. Many, many people fell in this battle. There are many brave moments of a lot of the soldiers here. And Shaul and Yehonatan died. So if you were David HaMelech, how would you react? Mixed feelings.
That we know is I can become king now. It's like this has been happening. The land is back so long. So that's another relationship. So there has to be such a mixed bag of feelings.
Mixed bag. Anyone else? He's trying to kill you. He's your father-in-law. Yonatan's your best friend. He had your back the whole time. But now you can go live at home. You can go back to your house. You're not stuck living, you know, and running away your whole life. You can actually have a life now. David's reaction is, Vayomer David el Hanar Hamagidlo. Ech yadata ki mi Shaul v'Yonatan beno. I don't believe you. Just you telling me is not enough. Give me proof. I need proof. Just you telling me is not enough. I need proof. Vayomar na Hamagidlo. Nikro nikresi behar Gilboa. Let me tell you a story. He says, you have some time? I'll tell you a story. I happened to find myself on Har Gilboa. V'hine Shaul nishana chanitma. And what was happening? I saw Shaul on his spear. Okay? Now, is that accurate to what we... Well, let me finish pausing. V'hine harecha v'alei parashim hidbiku. And I saw that the cavalry and the sharpshooters, right, the people shooting the arrows, were converging upon him, and Shaul fell on his chanit. What is a chanit? A spear. A spear. So If you go back to Perek Lamed Aleph tells us that Shaul, when everyone converged upon him, he turned to his arms carrier and he said to him, take the sword, take the cherev, shlof charbacha, udekaraniba. Lamed Aleph down. Because I don't want them to kill me. That's not going to be good. He said no. Vayikach Shaul as a cherev, vayipo aleha, and Shaul fell on his sword. Not the chanitz. Falling on a spear is not the term. Falling on a sword is a term. Now, what's happening here? Is this accurate information? Or is this not accurate information? Is it just you're blinded by war? You can't get all the details right. War happens really, really fast. At one moment, things can be very quiet. And the next moment, oh my gosh. We heard from a father who lost his son, Ma'uz Morel, on Thursday morning. Eitan Morel made Aliyah. He has a brother that lives in Muncie, and I think a sister or sister-in-law that teaches in Mayanot, and he has nieces both in Mayanot and in Na'ala. And we met with him at Har Herzl, right by his son's kever. He had gotten up from Shiva last week on Monday. And his son was in a very special unit, San Chanim. And the way it works is you take over a house. And that's your house until like the orders are to move forward. And there's like a boredom of war. That you're there. And you have like duties and hours and you have time off and you're just waiting. It was early in the morning. And there was an explosion in the house. And terrorists figured out that they were all in that house. And they surrounded the house. And they threw grenades into the house to get everybody out. He wasn't injured in the original blast. He was injured when he came out to put the people that were injured on helicopter. And he shot a lot of the terrorists. It was like a touchdown, a gun that shoots. Doesn't like aim well, but it gets people to move back and retreat. And he was shot. And you see that in, where is that? Why was I saying this? Details, right? Like someone remembers details this way. You remember what was it? Where was second floor, first floor? What was happening? Some details do not line up because when war happens, things are fine, and a second later, they are super intense, super intense, and you have to always be on your guard. So because of that, you don't catch every detail. So it could be this guy didn't catch the detail. Everyone knows about Shaul's spear. They don't know about that he had a sword to it. Or maybe something else is happening. So now he tells a story. What's the story? Vayifen acharav. So I find myself in the middle of this battle and I see Shaul hanging over like with a spear lodged inside of him. Vayifen acharav vayir'eni. I see Shaul turns his head to me. Vayikra Eli. And he says to me, come here. Vayomer hineni. And I say, I'm here. Vayomer li miata. Right? So Shaul says, who am I? Who are you? What are you doing here? And he says, Vayomer, Nar Amaleki, Amaleki Anochi. Or Amaleki Anochi. I am an Amaleki. I'm an Amaleki. It's kind of ironic, though. Who is witnessing Shaul's death? An Amaleki. Honey, what's the matter? You're making a face. What? What is hokey to you about this?
I need to ask out the dog.
The guy's pulled over the sweater and he has time to turn around and have a whole conversation with you. That's like, but
Okay, so let's see. Vayomer Elav. So he says, Shaul says to me, in the middle of this war, right? Amodna Eilai Umosisani. I need you to do me a favor. Kill me. Why? Ki achazani hashavatz. Now, what does this mean, achazani hashavatz? It's a machlokas. Either achazani hashavatz means I'm dying anyway and I'm in a lot of pain, so make it happen quicker. Or achazani hashavatz means I want to die, but it didn't work. You know why? A Shabbat, according to, I think, the Abarbanel, right? Sorry, no, the Ralbag says a Mishubat is armor, and he tried to pierce himself, and the armor was so strong that it didn't do a job, it didn't do its job. So I needed to kill me fully, right? So either, just appreciate this detail, either kill me the last percentage. Halachically, there's no difference. But I think emotionally, it matters whether he was like on it, he was mamish dying anyway. Just now it's a matter of minutes and now make it into a second. Versus, I'm not dying. I'm going to die because of the people outside of me and I want you to kill me. What? Who, this guy? So let's see. Let's see. Let's see. My soul is still with me. I need to kill me. And that's what I did. I killed Shaul. Pause. We'll pause in the middle of the pasuk. What would be now with this in mind? Why would he be coming to God? Nobody else ran to David. Okay, now he's an Amaleki. We know why he can run to David. And he's not afraid of the Plishtim because he's not Jewish. But why is he sharing this information with David HaMelech? What?
He wants to get into the praises of the show a bit. So here, if I'm not, I tell you, I killed your enemy. I got brown.
So political favor, yeah. Right? I'm coming.
Right.
I know you're going to have, I'm going to get a promotion or I'm going to be involved somehow, some way in your good.
So,
why?
I mean, weird that not like, you know, Shaul was instructed to kill them all, and then he's asking one of them to kill him.
Especially when he was supposed to kill
them all. Well, as I said, he was supposed to kill them all.
This is what he called deja vu. If you have to die, this is the way to die.
Well, this is definitely the irony in Shaul's death, yeah. Right? That the Amaleki is there seeing his death. Right. So he explains why he killed him. By the way, David asked for proof. Is this proof? Maybe. No? No.
I can tell you the story. You might believe it. Doesn't okay. Mean it actually happened.
So he says, I killed him, ki yadati, I know. He lo yichya acharai acharei niflo. I know that he's not unable to live after he is going to fall. So I really didn't kill him because he was going to die anyway. Ve'kach ha'nezer asher rosho ve'etz ada asher azro'o ve'avim el aduni heino. You want proof? I'll give you proof. Right now he brings the proof. I don't know if it was like in his hands, maybe it was in his bag, and he takes out of his bag. Here is Shaul's crown, which David definitely can identify. And here are his bracelets. Et adal, you know, and that's proof enough that I really killed Shaul. I really killed Shaul. So when David hears this, by the way, the Medrash writes, fascinatingly, that he didn't really bring him his crown and his bracelet. What did he bring him? Tefillin shel Rosh and Tefillin shel Yad. Because that's what Jewish men adorn themselves with and beautify themselves with. Okay. That, it's hard to say he was wearing that when he died, right? You would not bring that into battle. But either way, it's very nice medrash. Ve'echazik David v'gadav ve'yikareim. V'gam kol anashim asher yito. David, as hearing this now and seeing the crown and the bracelets of Shaul HaMelech, ascertains that this is enough proof. Shaul is dead. Shaul is dead. Shir, what are you saying?
I just say it's interesting he did Kriya. This is not his son.
Ah, very good. So we see from you. So the Gemara learns from here that whenever the Melech or an Av Beis Din dies, the whole nation is chayiv and mourns and is chayiv and kriya. Technically, that is a halacha. Today, we don't do it. But technically, that is the correct halacha. Today, we're more lenient when it comes to kriya in general. They say when Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away, many of his talmidim tore kriya. Are they sitting shiva? No, they're not sitting shiva. Kriya is independent of sitting shiva. The halacha also really is that if somebody is in the room when someone dies, then everybody in that room also tears kriya. There's a shiloh whether a doctor tears kriya for two reasons. Number one, the clothing a doctor is usually wearing doesn't belong to him. Scrubs belongs to the hospital. So maybe you don't tear kriya on a shirt that doesn't belong to you. Though that proof people then use as a kula when going to the kotel. I go to the kotel. Oh my gosh, I forgot to tear kriya. I don't have a shirt. This is my shirt. It's a nice shirt. I'm not tearing kriya on the shirt. So, I'll trade shirts. So David and Peter are going to trade shirts. That's what some people do to get out of kriya, because I don't tear kriya on a shirt that doesn't belong to me. Others say that maybe he is chayiv, but we're concerned that, I don't know, let's say you find yourself at a hospital and the doctor comes to see you, he's a firm guy, firm woman, and you see they have kriya, they tore kriya. You feel comfortable with that doctor? Of course, it's not the doctor's fault. It's not the doctor's fault. It's part of the world that we live in. People die. But it just would create a tremendous amount of uncomfortability if that's, that's who you're seeing. So Rav Adi Yosef uses that as his reason maybe why a doctor would not today tear kriya. The relatives that would be in the room, some poskim do say today that should be their kriya. And others say that really the minhag, I think in our communities is that we wait. We wait till the funeral. For one major reason is that most people do not know the right way to tear kriya. And if you don't know the right way to tear kriya, then tearing it the wrong way is baltashkas. You're just ruining a shirt. So for that reason, many, many feel that we postpone that halacha, which is really in the book, in the Shulchan Aruch, until later. But here, Shaul was the king, and Yehonatan was the Av Beis Din. So David and everybody else there tear their clothing. You look at the word bivigado, it really is bivigadav. Bigadav means all of his shirts. All of his shirts, which is unique. The halacha distinguishes between two different types of people you would teshuva before. There's aviv v'imo, and then there is shar krovim. That's every other one. For aviv v'imo, you tear all of your clothing. All of the bigadav. for Shar Krovim, just one. Today, that is the halacha. That is halacha. So what would be a difference if, like, usually a men wear like a suit jacket? So do you also tear a suit jacket and the shirts? So you're going back maybe to some of you that's at Shiva before. Did you tear both? So Rabbi Yudin's Mesora is the following. He asks people, are you just wearing a suit jacket today for kavod purposes? It's like appropriate to do at a funeral. But are you going to wear it when you're sitting Shiva? If you're also going to wear it when you're sitting Shiva, then it's really part of your clothing. Then you should tear both. But if you're just wearing it today for, you know, it's the right thing to do, then you don't tear that. The whole shiloh about sweaters also would be the same thing. Are you wearing it the whole week? Or are you just wearing it because it's cold today, where it looks a little bit nice? Coats are for sure out of the, we don't take crayon coats. But the halacha is for avivim, undershirts are not part of it either. Both shiloh by tittis, the halacha is we don't tear crayon tittis, even though that is brought up in the poskim as well. But so David here tore all of his layers of clothing, because a melech would be on the side of Avivimo, be treated like Avivimo in this way. And especially here, they did have this very unique relationship. And everybody else also tore Kriya as well. Vayisbedu, David as reaction, eulogized. Vayifku, he cried. Vayatsumu ad ha'erev al Sha'ul vayonatan binu. And he fasted. An onen has no obligation to fast at all. In fact, the meal that we give the family right when they go back from the funeral is called a suda savra. That cannot be made from the avel's food. It must be brought from the community. And one of the reasons why is because avelim, I don't need to eat. Like, food is, some avelim can think that, right? Depends, obviously, every shiva, every funeral, every death is very unique in its own right. Very, very, every, there's no one parallel to another. But some people may feel eating is unnecessary, or they don't need to take care of themselves. So the community says, I'm going to take care of you. You have to eat. You have to eat. You can't be fasting. You can't be ignoring your body now. You have to take care of your body too. So David fasted until nightfall. And why? Al Sha'ul, because of Sha'ul's death. Al Yehonatan Beno, because of Yehonatan. Al Am Hashem, Al Beis Yisrael Ki Naflu B'Charev, because of the Jewish people. And Beis Yisrael, which is like the, I guess, the name of the Jewish people, who fell in battle. Vayomer David. David now responds to our friend, this Nar Maleki. So, Honey just said the Nar Maleki is expecting a reward, right? A shkayach, a hug, a pat on the back, thank you, a cabinet position. He's expecting something. Vayomer David al Nar Hamagidlo, right? David now turns to this guy who tells him. Meaning that's exactly the way David's framing it. Eini ze'ata, who are you? Again, only in the context of the story did he tell him who he is. Vayomer ben ish ger amaleki anochi. I'm not just amaleki, I'm a amaleki convert. Now, does that bother anybody?
So you're an Amaleki, now you're saying you're a convert. It's like, it sounds like you're just saying something that you want them to hear. Why wouldn't he say this in the beginning? Can Amaleki become part of the new people?
Can Amaleki convert? Is that a per- can they convert? Can they convert? It's not so clear. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says that Amaleki can't convert. We have Moab and Ammon, right? Can't convert. A Mitzri can, but has limited rules. There's a Medrash that writes that Amalekim can't convert. The Rambam never codifies it. So some people bring this as a proof of the Rambam's opinion. This is the Salavachits have this Masorah that Amalekim is not a nation, it's not a genealogy, it's an ideology. So what they feel is that once an Amaleki says, I want to convert, they can convert.
We're supposed to be any of them anyway. So it was supposed to
be. This is the way of wiping them out.
So I understand, but there's no point in somebody's non-existent. So what do you make a rule that somebody's not supposed to make? They didn't make up the rule that an
Amaleki. So maybe this is a way of, this could be a way of eradicating Amalek. Right? They decide to convert. But this is a bit, the Medrash says they can't convert, and others say they can't convert. But this is already a very funny thing. And others say Ger Amaleki means he's not really an Amaleki. No. He comes from that region where the Amalekim live. That's where I grew up. I grew up near the Amalekim. I'm not Jewish. And now my father converted. I converted. I'm a Jew. So now we understand a little bit more why he's showing up over here to tell this about it. What? Why?
Where you come from? You grew up.
Right. Yeah. So okay, that's where I grew up. Yeah. Vayomer elav David. David turns to him and is very unhappy. Very unhappy. Eich lo yaresa lishloach yadecha l'shaches mashiach Hashem. How dare you raise your hands to an anointed king of Hashem? You never considered to think twice, even though he asks to raise a hand to Shom. He's a Mashiach Hashem. Vayigra David la'echa me'anarim, vayomer gosh pegabo ve'akel ve'amos. Your chayav misa. He brings over one of his servants, and he has him killed. Vayomer elav David, damecha al roshecha. Your blood is on your head. Kificha anabecha. Why? Your admittance. David, the Mefarshim, some Mefarshim say he made this up. He made up this entire story. He ended up with the crown. He ended up with these, you know, things that belong to Shaul's belongings. But no way. I was saying, even if you didn't say this, even if it's not true, the fact that you are walking around to share the story is enough that you deserve to die. I know he, Moses, I asked Mashiach Hashem, because you walking around saying you killed Shalom Melech, you deserve Misa. What did you say?
Did he help Shalom die, or he actually killed him? What did he say? Something like,
according to Halacha, if somebody is dying and the only thing that needs to be done is to pull the plug, right? Pulling the plug is Misa, is murder. You can't do that. That's murder.
Someone is hurt, they're going to die in 15 minutes. So you know, I shoot him.
No.
You have to, he has to sit there and suffer.
You know what's amazing? The Israeli army is unbelievable. I could not believe this. Maoz Morel was shot. In his head. And he's in the middle of Gaza. They call a medevac. You know how many minutes in the middle of Gaza to, I forgot which hospital he went to. Maybe Soroka. How many minutes do you think it took? What? No, 38 minutes. By the time he was shot, to get him into Gaza, in the middle of an active war, back into a hospital, 38 minutes. Right? And the people that are flying there with doctors and risking their, unbelievable. So he does this, right? You know, you can't do this. So either he really murdered him, he really killed him, Chaim Yisrael, or he's walking around these rooms. Why is David doing this? We're going to see this, something like this, come up a few more times. So we'll, maybe next week we'll learn the Rambam inside about Morid B'Malchus, that a king has certain flexibility, let's say, within halacha, to mete out punishments to people that he thinks deserve them. That's one part of this. The other part of this is something very, very important politically. David wants to make it very, very clear that he never won the Shaul dead. And if this person goes around and says, I killed Shaul. I told David about it, he didn't care. He just took Shaul's stuff, right? And he said, Seyeskem Shalom, have a good time. Okay, didn't promote me. That would be terrible for the state of the Jewish people. Rumors would begin to spread. David wants to make it very, very clear. There's a halacha, not halacha, there's a law it comes up as Sefer Malachim, Bezrat Hashem, one day we'll get there, where when one king dies, when the new king takes over, what does he do? He kills the entire king's family, and he burns all of his belongings. They want to rid everybody, right? Because what's going to happen? The king's kids want to take over for... So to squash the rebellion, David's going to, over and over again, go against them and say, no, Adarabba. First of all, they can take over. I'm happy not to be the king. Second of all, I have nothing. I'm not angry at all with Shaul. I did not daven for him to die. I don't want him to die. And maybe he felt bad for him. What's happening? And this is the first way that Shaul, that David, is moving into transition of becoming king, is by showing the transition is David himself is mourning. He is in a state of mourning. He's sad about what has happened. It took his body, yeah. So they still took his body. Maybe they left the plishim were so excited that he died that they did not pay attention to the things. Okay. Sure. Have a wonderful